All right, one of the great features of Facebook is being reminded of someone's anniversary, and it's especially true for weddings in which Will and I have had a part. Recently, Facebook invited me to offer anniversary greetings to a couple who now have two wonderful, fulfilling careers, two lovely children, and by all appearance are having a great life together. That anniversary reminder allowed me to reflect on how years earlier, life for one of them was uncomfortable and uncertain. A darkness lingered. Problems seemed unlikely to be solved. How could she know then that she'd find and marry someone who truly loved her and who encouraged her to complete her education and to pursue her career, and that together they would bring two beautiful children into the world? I don't mean to imply by that their life together has been absent of grief or sorrow or conflict, but they have weathered those storms as a family. Anniversaries enable us to remember the past, to celebrate the present, and to look hopefully into the future. It surprised me to discover that the anniversary of the crossing of the Jordan River, described here in the book of Joshua, was not listed in the Jewish anniversary observances. Maybe because it's a lesser parting of the waters as opposed to the great parting of the Red Sea by Moses. By contrast, 12 priests pushing back the waters of the Jordan River, enabling the children of Israel to scramble across into the promised land, comes off as kind of a holy shrug. It's sort of an followed by a remembrance that Moses not only parted the Red Sea, but did it with Egyptian soldiers and chariots hot on the Israelites' trail. And in the nick of time, Moses united the waters back so that the Egyptians all drowned. And immediately Moses and company had a great celebration, dancing and singing and fasting and feasting and praying and tambourine shaking and thanking God for this great miracle. Since that day, the Jewish people have observed that anniversary known as Passover. Now, in today's story, after 40 years in the wilderness, the people crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. They scooted past the 12 priests who were standing in the middle of the water, pushing the water back in one direction as far as the city of Adam so that the people could cross on dry land. No enemy was chasing them, so they weren't anxiously looking behind them. Finally, after all the people had crossed, the priest crossed into the promised land. Ceremonial stones were placed in the river afterwards, but still no celebration, no singing, no dancing, no feasting, no tambourine shaking. It was, as one Bible commentator referred to it, a lesser miracle. And yet on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel, and they stood in awe of him as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. Lesser miracle, my foot. Or rather, lesser miracle, the priest's feet. It wasn't until last year, in 2016, that an official anniversary of the children of Israel entering the promised land was ratified in the nation of Israel. Yom Ha'alah, which means day of ascent or day of immigration, was ratified in Israel, honoring immigration to Israel and the contributions of Jewish immigrants to Israeli society. Now, considering that Passover, that seven-day observance of the Israelites being freed from slavery, was celebrated as early as 1300 BCE, this ratification took a long time to get recognized. Now, it may seem a strange combination, the story of the children of Israel entering Canaan and Trinity's 75th anniversary, but maybe we can lift up some of the wonderful features of this Old Testament story and apply them to our celebration today. First, there is remembrance. Before crossing the river and entering Canaan, the people took time to remember who they were and what they had been called to do. That act of remembrance started way back in Deuteronomy as Moses gave his farewell speech to the people of Israel. But Joshua also took time to remind the people who they were and whose they were, and to remember that they had been brought out of slavery into freedom, and that God's presence had been with them, was with them, and would be with them. Now, like many anniversaries, I know that Trinity's 75th has great significance for some of you. Some of you have been with the congregation from the beginning, or your families have been with the congregation since the beginning, but I also know that there are a fair number of you today who don't really have a clue why it's important to observe this 75th anniversary. You haven't been here that long. I suspect that in both Moses' congregation and Joshua's congregation, there were those who had not been born when the Red Sea parted, or those for whom wilderness life was just the way it was. Now, wherever you are on the 75th anniversary scale, remembering a lot or nothing at all, the true benefit of an anniversary is the acknowledgement that from the beginning, God has been working in and through and with this congregation through the full years and the lean years, through troubled times and joyful times, through days when the future was uncertain and days when the future was clear and bright. It's as true for our church as it is for our individual lives, that God works in and through and with you and with me and with us, bringing us through the years. We are always mindful of God's presence. Second, the story of the crossing into Canaan occurred because the people had a strong foundation of learning and obeying God's laws. Using the Ten Commandments as their foundation and using the Shema, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, they used that as a guide and they grew together as a community of faith. At this anniversary celebration, we can celebrate the foundation on which this congregation was built. The same foundation that the children of Israel had, but with emphasis on the freedom of the pulpit, on the equality of all persons, and to quote from Trinity's history, to meet with open-minded consecration the religious needs of people in a new and changing South, and use its influence to create a more Christ-like society. If you are a charter member of this church, or if you're a child of this church, you know that it hasn't always been easy to maintain a community of faith in light of the culture around us. But you can also celebrate and give thanks for the solid foundation of biblical and theological education that you received here, for the witness of faithful and dedicated women and men who are willing to stand in the middle of the river, pushing the water aside so that others might cross over into Canaan. In every generation, those men and women held aloft the Ark of the Covenant with strength of mind and body, opening the land of milk and honey to all. It's a good broad land where we don't all have to think the same way, and we don't all have to do the same things, and we don't all have to have the same passions. For those who did not grow up in this congregation, keep in mind that whether our church roles are fat or lean, our church doors have remained open to all. The quote that appears in our regular Sunday bulletin sums it up well. To all who mourn and need comfort, to all who are weary and need rest, to all who are friendless and want friendship, to all who are homeless and want sheltering love, to all who pray and to all who do not, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens wide the door and makes free a place and in the name of Jesus Christ says, welcome. Finally, the story of the crossing of the Jordan River points us to what lies ahead of us. Joshua has been with the children of Israel since Egypt. He's the leader of the people now. But for 40 years, Joshua was one of them. And as one of them, he wondered if the decision to leave Egypt and follow Moses was such a great one, especially when everyone got hungry and homesick. And as one of them, he wondered where his next meal was going to come from, and if he had a family, he wondered on their behalf as well. And as one of them, he wondered if there was an end in sight to all of this wandering. And as one of them, he would have had doubts and fears about where all this was going to lead, where God was taking them, and wonder what kind of changes they would encounter. But as he stood before the River Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." And what Joshua took away from those words was, "By this you shall know that the living God without fail will drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan." For after all of those years in the wilderness, Joshua had learned that it wasn't about what he could do. It wasn't even about what Moses had done. It was about what God had done, what God was doing, and what God would do. Jeff McElroy wrote, "It does not all fall on Joshua, for the reason that for this event is not just about Joshua, but a reminder to the people who is their true leader. Sure, Joshua is the face and name, but it is the Lord who goes before them and to prove to them that God will remain with them even without Moses there. As leadership changes hands, as new eras begin, as the future unfolds, who goes with us? Who's among us? More correctly, who do we know is among us? Will we despair if our desired candidate was not elected as we want, or do we cling to a higher hope that in all times and among all leaders, the living God is among us and continues to speak?" Libby Weber, not a theologian but a clinical psychologist, has written, "Within the familiar structure given to us by anniversaries, we can tolerate a certain amount of chaos and unpredictability, knowing that we have a number of fixed points ahead in a life of community. Anniversaries give us a sense that life has structure and rhythm rather than being random, chaotic, and unpredictable. It is God who gives life structure and rhythm. God who brings order out of chaos, who brings light out of darkness, who brings joy out of despair, who brings life out of death. It is God who has brought us here today, some of us to remember the past with fondness and others to celebrate the present with joy. Our individual lives, our church life, has not been untouched by sadness or grief or conflict, nor are they likely to be. But we have weathered and we will weather those times with the faith given to us by God. Anniversaries like this one enable us to remember the past, to celebrate the present, to look hopefully into the future. And on this anniversary, all of us can look forward to walking into the future, our individual future or our collective future as a church. Just like the children of Israel walked into the River Jordan, crossed into Canaan, remembering who we are, standing on the strong foundation of hope and of trust, faithfully following our God into the promised land. Would you stand and say what you believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed?